This Feast of the Visitation is a festival that the church has marked since the 8th century. And on this day, in a particular way, we are invited to think about Our Lady's words, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." So what does it mean for Mary to say this, that my soul magnifies the Lord? God in himself is complete, and in one sense does not need to be magnified because of who he is. But here's the wonder of our faith, that God has made us incredibly complicated beings, and at the very essence of who we are is the soul that he has given to each one of us. And here's the thing about our souls. Our souls can either enlarge God, or in turn, they can diminish God. The image of God within us, and that image is reflected by our soul, can either become dingy and dirty, or clean and bright. Therefore, when we make our soul large and magnify it by our works, by our thoughts, and by our speech, then in turn, God is enlarged in us. We can magnify him through lives of obedience, and similarly, through lives of disobedience, rather than magnifying God, we diminish God and he decreases within our lives. Well, in today's gospel, we see how Mary magnifies the Lord in a specific way. We're told that when she hears of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that she goes with haste to the hill country of Judah. And this word haste doesn't only mean with speed, but it also speaks of her motivation as well. There is an implication of eagerness. There is an understanding that she is earnest, that she desires to go to Elizabeth. And of course, at one level, it's because Elizabeth is pregnant. But at another level, there's something much deeper going on here, as is always the case in the Bible. And in order to appreciate the deeper meaning of this story, we have to understand its Old Testament background. If we think of the Old Testament, the key figure of the Old Testament is King David. David, who is indeed the one who anticipates the coming of the Messiah. And when we think of David, one of the things that he did was he brought all of the tribes together, and where did they worship? In Jerusalem. And what David did as he brought the people to Jerusalem was that he carried the Ark of the Covenant through the hill country of Judah. And upon arriving in Jerusalem, what did David do? He danced before the Ark. Now you need to have this in mind, because part of Mary's haste was an understanding that she was reenacting this very reality, this story. For Mary is the true Ark of the Covenant. If the Ark of the Covenant contained the Ten Commandments, the manna, and the staff of Aaron, Mary didn't just contain the Ten Commandments, she contained the Word of God himself. She didn't just contain the manna, she contained the bread of life. She didn't just contain the staff of Aaron, she contained within her womb the great high priest. And what does the passage tell us? That Mary went with haste through the hill country of Judea. And so what we need to appreciate and understand in this story is that Mary is magnifying the Lord because she is reenacting and fulfilling the Ark's journey through the hill country of Judea. And indeed, when John the Baptist leaps in the womb of Elizabeth, he is, in a sense, reenacting David's dancing with abandonment before the Ark of the Covenant. And when Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women," we need to remember and appreciate that there was no object more holy in Israel There was no object more blessed than the Ark of the Covenant. And so Elizabeth sees in Mary the one who is truly blessed because she is the true Ark of the Covenant. And so this story is a beautiful story when we understand it on two levels. On the simple level, it's one woman hearing of another woman's need, a cousin going to her cousin through the hill country of Judea so that she can be present to her through the last 3 months of her pregnancy. And so on this very simple level, it is the story of a human encounter, a story of care, a story of love, a story of genuine connection. But at that deeper level, as I've tried to show you this morning, this is the story of how Mary, because of her openness to the Lord, actually is now fulfilling all of these Old Testament scriptures as she goes to Elizabeth's house. What does this mean for us? Well, this, as I say, is a story that, on the simple level, is about a day-to-day encounter. Isn't that what our lives are made up of? Daily events? There's nothing usually out of the ordinary. Our lives are usually very ordinary. But it's in those very ordinary events of our daily lives that as we seek to live them intentionally, as we seek to live them as people who say, what I want for my life is that my soul will magnify God and that my spirit will rejoice in God my Savior, then our very simple and everyday lives become the point not only of encounter with one another, but they become the holy ground whereby we encounter God. Mary and Elizabeth, in their time together, in a very profound way, lived out the words of St. Paul from today's epistle. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. People who take these words to heart, people who understand that they are living each day in the presence of the invisible God, are people, are men and women who with Mary sing, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.